The sugi we want to learn tonight is on Daf Tet Zayin, but let's go back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis. And we're talking about going out to what's called the Milchemes Rishus. You recall that there are two categories of Milchama. There's a Milchemes Mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and that was led first and foremost by Yoshua. And then there's a Milchemes Rishus, which became very relevant at the time of David HaMelech. David HaMelech actually fought a Milchemes Rishus, which means it was not an obligatory war. It wasn't to conquer the land. It was to expand the boundaries and conquer other countries. And the Mishnah establishes right here at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin that the decision to go out to battle in a Milchemes Rishus has to be made by the Sanhedrin Agdola, the highest court of the land, made up of 71 elders. You remember that the Mishnah goes through various areas of jurisdiction of this high court. For example, the Mishnah says, Ein Donin Lo Es HaShevet, Lo Es Novi HaShekel, Lo Es Kohen Gadol, El Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shivim V'Yechad. And then it says, V'Ein Motzi'in L'Milchemes HaRishus, El Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shivim V'Yechad. That to go out to battle in a discretionary war, as we call it, we require the Bezdin to make that decision, the highest court in the land, and that's made up of 71 judges. Now the Gemara on Daf Tes Zayin is going to ask Minani Mili, how do we know such a thing? What is the source in the Torah for the requirement of a Bezdin Gadol in order to go out to a Milchemes Rishus? So let's start the Gemara now on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, and that's going to be two lines down in the wide lines. Okay, and first the Gemara is going to talk about the requirement of Bezdin HaGadol for a Kohen Gadol. And let's say a Kohen Gadol is guilty of some crime. Let's say he's guilty of a capital crime, he has to be put to death. So he has to be judged in front of a Bezdin HaGadol. And that's based on a pasuk that says, Kol Adavra Gadol Yaviu Elecha. And Moshe Rabbeinu is in charge of a Davra Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of 71 elders. Do you remember this?
Right.
And now, in order to judge a Davra Gadol, which in this case is the Kohen Gadol himself, we need a Bezdin of 71 elders. The question is, can that source also help us determine that in order to go out to battle, we need a Bezdin of 71? Maybe that's also called a Davra Gadol. So we're going to take a look at the Gemara now on Daf Tes Zayin. If you count up from the bottom of the page, I think that's a little easier. You can count up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Okay then, so you'll see the two dots, and then it says Ein Motzi'in, and then Minani Mili. Amar Rabbi Avo, Di Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, and we're going to take a look at this Pasuk at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and it says, V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amot. Now, this Pasuk, I'm going to read it from the Torah R, because there's a lot more words in the Pasuk. V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amot, V'sha'alo B'mishpata Urim L'fnei Hashem, Al Piv Yetzu V'al Piv Yavo, Hu V'chol B'nei Yisrael Yito V'chol Heido. So we have a drasha now on almost every word in this pasuk. It says, Lifnei Elazar Kohen Ya'amod. He's going to be in charge of the Urim V'Tumim. You remember the Kohen Gadol wore the Urim V'Tumim, then he would ask the questions to the Urim V'Tumim. So they would need the okay from the Urim V'Tumim to go out to this discretionary war. And then it says, Hu. There's an extra word in the pasuk, Hu. So the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Avoh that the word Hu is a melech. So now we have a king, and we have the Urim V'Tumim. B'chol b'nei Yisrael ito, ze mashruach milchama. You remember that in going out to war, they had to appoint a special kohen. He was like a kohen gadol, but not exactly on the same level. And he would read the entire parasha in front of them, who would go back from the milchama. And he's got to be there. Then it says, "V'chola Eda Zeh Sanhedrin." Sanhedrin is the highest court because they represent the people of Israel. Anything that requires the approval or representation of the entire nation of Israel has to be done by the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara is not satisfied with this drasha of Rabbi Avoh. This could not possibly serve as the source for this halacha that we require at Beis Din of 71, because Dilma it could be that it's not that we need the approval of the Kohen Gadol to go out, of the Sanhedrin Agdola to go out to war in this discretionary war. We need the Sanhedrin Agdola in order to activate the Urim V'Tumim. Now, the Gemara is saying now that for some reason it's not enough that you have a Kohen Gadol and he's going to ask the question to the Urim V'Tumim. We also need a Sanhedrin. We have to ask the Sanhedrin to ask the Urim V'Tumim in order to get the answer as to whether or not we should go out to this battle. So at this point, the Gemara needs a substitute source for the requirement of Beis Din HaGadol to go out to battle. Ela ki hod yomer av achar babizna omer av shimon chasido. Now what we're looking at now is a graft of a Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Brachos. And the Gemara is going to go through a pasuk, which is in Malachim, and the Gemara is going to derive from this pasuk exactly when David HaMelech would wake up in order to start his day. Kinar hayatolu l'mal mimitosa shel David. So there was this harp that was hanging above the head, the bed of David, and this harp would play by itself, and that would wake up David. It was like an alarm clock. Remember this? And at what point in time did it go off? Exactly at midnight. At midnight. Now the other kings would get up much later, but David HaMelech wanted to wake up bright and early at midnight. And there was a certain Ruach Tzfonis. Many of Chazal understood that this Ruach Tzfonis, which literally means a northern wind, has a certain spiritual power. And this would blow into that hole of the kinar, and that would cause the kinar to start playing. David had a very busy schedule. When did he have time to study, to learn Torah? From midnight until Amud HaShachar. Like Amud HaShachar today, I think, was about 5:50 or so. So he had 5.5 hours, almost 6 hours, to shtag away, as we would say. What happened with Amud HaShachar? At that point, his workday begins. Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael Etzlo Amru Adoneinu Amelech, our Master, our King. Amcha Yisrael Tzrichin LeParnasa. The people are very poor, and they're not supporting themselves. They need more money for sustenance. Amar Lahem. So David HaMelech's first response. The Mefarshim say this was not on a daily basis. This was at the beginning of the enterprise, of the project. Rashi explains, let the rich people give more tzedakah to the poor people. Amru lo, but they said, Eina komitz masbias esari. There's not enough, meaning you can't feed a lion unless you have an exorbitant, a large volume of food, and we don't have enough food. And what that meant was that the aniyim were not getting enough from the ashirim, and even if the ashirim, the wealthy people, give more tzedakah, it still would not be enough. V'yena bar mismali michul yaso. And if you dig a bar and you want to fill it up afterwards, you can't just fill it up with the offer, with the ground that you took out, because you have to collapse it and then it goes down. Omalahem, so David says, lechu pishtu yedechem begdud. Go out for a battle. And the purpose of this battle was to conquer another country or lands or at least possessions. And those possessions would inflate the economy so that the poor people would have enough to eat. And the Brisa records that at that point, once David HaMelech gave the okay to go out to this battle, is miyad yotzim v'achitofel nimlochim b'sanhedrin sholim burim v'tumim. They asked for an Eitzah, for a... do you remember this? I mean, we touched on this, didn't we? No, we never touched on this? Okay, so anyway, Achitofel was the military expert at that time, so they asked him, how should we go about fighting this battle? Then Nimlachim b'Sanhedrin, which apparently means they would ask for the approval of the highest court in the land. They would ask the Urim v'Tumim, would they be successful? And that's when they went out to battle. Okay, so now we see that they needed the approval of the highest court in the land. Omar Rav Yosef Maikra. Okay, fine, but what's the pasuk? You know, we still haven't answered that question. What is the source for this halacha? So now, on Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to quote a different pasuk. We'll read this pasuk here in the Torah Oritz from Divrei Yomim. It says, V'achrei Achitofel Yehoyada ben Pneyov Ev Yosar V'sar Tzovel Melch Yoev. So who are these individuals that are mentioned in the pasuk? First we have Achitofel. Achitofel, as we said before already on Amud Aleph, he's the Yoetz. He's the military expert. He'll give us the right sound advice as to how to win this battle. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk to prove that that was the capacity of Achitofel. Who is Benayahu ben Yehoyada? He was in charge of the Sanhedrin. He was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. And who is Evyasar? Evyasar was the Kohen who would ask the Urim v'Tumim. In any event, it's clear that we had to get the approval of the Beis Din HaGadol. So all this began with whose decision? Who actually made the first decision in this whole Chagadya, in this whole series?
David,
correct? David is the king. Mm-hmm. But it seems from the Gemara, that's the impression you get, that maybe David HaMelech's decision is not enough, it's not sufficient, because you also need, okay, military advice, that's something else. But you also seem to need Benayo ben Yehoyada Zu Sanhedrin. And of course you needed Benayo ben Yehoyada in order to ask the Urim v'Tumim.
Would you use that all the time?
Well, we're talking about going out to a discretionary war. In other words, an obligatory war, we don't need anyone's approval because the Torah commands us. Here we need the approval because the Torah didn't command us to go out to this battle. And you're putting Jewish soldiers in danger. So let's take a look at the Yalkut. You know that the Yalkut is a compilation of Midrashi Chazal. And we want to take a look at the Yalkut and a comment in the Yalkut in Sefer Shmuel. And it says the following. Now, what you're looking at is a page that should say on the top right, Reish Lamed. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you're looking at the bottom paragraph on the right column, Omolehem Lechu Visparasu Zemizeh. And what does it say in the Yalkut? The pasuk reads V'ata Ho'il Uberech Es Beis Avodecha Omelo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'David. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's telling David to go out to battle. This is very different than our Gemara, as we're going to soon see. Ein Abar, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David, Ein Abar Mesamale B'chul Yaso, that you cannot fill in the bar from its own dirt, meaning that the Ashirim are not going to be able to support the Aniyim. Elim came, Moshchin lo ama mimakom karov. You're going to have to go out and stretch your arm and take dirt from far away. And this is what Hashem says to David. Im ata poshet yodcha beplishtim, go out to battle against the plishtim, atom isbarech, you will be blessed. And it means the blessing will supply the people of Israel with whatever funds they need. Hadol d'chsiv, and that's what the pasuk says, Vayehi achrei chen, meaning after that, after what? After HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David HaMelech that it's about time that he goes out to war. And then Vayach David es haplishtim, David succeeded, and he was victorious in battle. So the Gevurah Yitzchak points out the obvious contradiction, V'tzarech iyun, I don't understand, he says. The Brisa records that when the Chachmei Yisrael came in and they asked David HaMelech, what should we do about this dire financial straits that we're in? So David HaMelech said to them, Tzu pishtu yedechem bigdud. First, and in fact, David HaMelech had hesitations. He said, can't you work it out within the klal, that we don't have to go out to battle? And when the Chachma Yisrael told him that that plan is not going to work, then he said we have to engage in a military campaign. Why did David HaMelech need this? Why did David HaMelech go through the motions here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lo, God already appeared to him and said to him, Eina bar mismali mechul yasa v'tzok lishto big dud. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took the initiative according to the Yalkut. V'i Neiman, if you'll tell me, Shal Maisa im Chachmi Yisrael hayu mikodim shavala HaKadosh Baruch Hu David. And if you'll argue that maybe the story in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself, that was later in history, our story that's recorded here with the Chachmi Yisrael coming into David, that took place first. I still don't understand what's going on. Harimi kevan she David kvar omar lechachmi Yisrael luchu pishtu yedeichem begdud. David had already instructed them to go out to battle. Lama haya kodesh baruch hu tzarech lama lo lifshot yado begdud. Why did kodesh baruch hu have to repeat a decision that had already been made by David HaMelech to tell him that Eina bar mismalich michul yaso. Kishin David, you know, he came beatzman. In other words, David came up with this idea, and he therefore initiated this battle. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to reiterate the same idea? And it was already implemented by David HaMelech. The decision was already made. It seems like a totally futile effort here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to tell David what he already had decided.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe Hashem told David. David had to go through the motions so no one would come back and have a tie on him.
He wanted to protect his...
He already knew that that wasn't a viable option.
Could be. Anyway, that's question number one. Now we get to some more heavy questions. That's on the top left. The Gemara says, Nimlochim b'Sanhedrin. Now what this means is that we needed the Sanhedrin's approval to go out to this Milchemes Rishus. In fact, that's what the Mishnah codifies at the beginning of the Masechta. But yet, the Gemara tells us later on, Adaf Chaf Amid Beis, Umotzei L'Milchemes Rishus Al Pi Bezin Shel Shivim V'Yechot, that he, and you'll tell me who the he is here, because the Mishnah doesn't spell it out, but you'll guess it, he will take them out to battle with the permission or the approval of the High Court. Who's the he?
David.
And who is David? Because again, David is one person, but David represents throughout Jewish history the Melech, correct? So the Melech will take the people out to battle, but only on condition
of Sanhedrin.
Correct, that the Melech gets the approval of Sanhedrin. So the Tosis Yontif, that's his name was Heller, he wrote a super commentary on the Mishnayos. He writes the following, Mashma, the Bezdin shall ayin echa Levadom, right? What does the Mishnah say? It says Motzi, meaning the Melech takes the people out to war, to this discretionary war, with the approval of the Sanhedrin. What happens if the Melech is out of the picture? What happens if the Sanhedrin, on their own initiative, would make a decision that we must, it's absolutely crucial that we go out to battle? It would seem let Elam koch lasus chayil. Lasus chayil means to engage in war, you know, and get chayilim. Lo tziyam l'mechavis rishus. Ella, but rather they need the maimar hamelech. So now we have a more complex situation than we bargained for, because now we have A plus B. We have number one, the decision of the king, and number two, the approval of Bezdin Agol. It sounds like neither one would be sufficient. These are necessary conditions, but not sufficient. De'i Amrit, if you're going to argue She'ein L'melech B'zeh Shumayla, says the Tosfos Yontif, if you don't need the king at all, Im Kein, why does the Mishnah say that he takes them out to battle? And not only that, it says here that Gavi Ma'alosav Shel Melech. Right, what's happening in the Mishnah later on in Daf Chaf, you know, now we're talking about the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, that addresses the question of the special Milah, the special status of the Bezna Gadol. The Mishnah later on is talking about the special status of the king. What is the kingly rulership, his sovereign powers, what are the authority of the king. So in the list of the authority of the king, it says that he takes them out to this battle. So obviously, says the Tosis Yontif, he's the one who's initiating the battle, and without him, because of his special Milo, we could not go out to battle in this Milchemes Rishus. So it comes out now that we have both the Melech plus the approval of the Bezdin HaGadol. V'chein mevur b'Yushalmi v'chidushe Ran, v'chein mucham mitos liel daf yud beis, shruas daf tes vav. I can prove that we need the Melech, that the Melech is critical in order to go out to battle. Shehikshu, because they ask the following question, Amaylo tnan v'resh mesechtin, di'ein motzi'in ela alpi Melech. Why does the Mishnah only say that we don't go out to this battle unless we have the approval of Bezdin? It should have said we don't go out to the battle unless we have the approval of the king. V'e'ne'eman, if you're going to say, says the Tosis Yontif, that the Bezdin HaGadol has a autonomous control or authority to decide about the battle without the Melech, then why were all the Rishonim bothered by the fact that it doesn't mention in the Mishnah Di'ein Motzi'in Ela Alpi Melech?
You know, he says David is a prophet, so he wasn't able to override the Gadol because of his ability.
His prophecy, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not only on the writing Tehillim, it's...
But it comes out, Yaakov, that from everything we learned, the prophet has no decision-making powers. Again, the prophet could tell you prophecy, but that's not what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech just made a decision as a king. Mm-hmm. Now, you're asking what happens if he would have a prophecy. I don't know. You know, the prophet doesn't even appear on the list here. The list has the following. It has the Melech. It's got the Sanhedrin. It's got the Urim V'Tumim. That's it. I mean, we need Achitofel for military advice, but there's no mention at all of the prophet. I suspect that that prophecy is not going to get us very far in the Milchemes Rishus.
And even what you quoted before, Hashem doesn't directly say go to war. He sort of pushes him along.
Correct. I mean, the whole thing is all about how we make the decision without HaKadosh Baruch to go out to this battle. Now, who's the we? You know, we thought it was probably the Sanhedrin HaGadola, but now we have a more complicated situation because all these Rishonim hold that you need the Melech, and he's the one who takes the initiative. So you need the Melech with the approval of the Sanhedrin.
So at this point, we say none of them can handle exclusively.
Correct. We need A plus B. That's the Tosis Yontif. Avol Miloshen Rambam. All this is fine according to Tosis Yontif, but let's open up the good old Rambam, Perikei Milchus Melochim. He seems to interpret it differently. He says, "Efshal Lefarish the Masnisin Lo Beinon LeMemra De Beinon LeMelech BeMelchemes Rishus." We don't have to conclude that we need the Melech and his initiative is crucial, because the Rambam writes, "Listen to the Rambam's language: Melchemes Mitzvah Ain Tzarch Litol Ba Rishus Beznin Eli Yotze Me'atzmo B'Chol Eis V'Kofel Am Lotzeis." Al Melchemes Rishus Ein Motzi Ha'am Ba Ela Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shivim V'Echad. Nira Mitvarav. It seems from the language of the Rambam. We'll go over the Rambam in just a minute. I just want to get the conclusion, and then we'll work backwards. The Masnisin La V'Maylas HaMelech Ayri. The Mishnah is not talking about the greatness of the king and his special authority, but rather the Mishnah is coming to teach us that he, the king, has no authority to take the people out to war in the Melchemes Rishus unless it's the Bezdin HaGadol that makes that decision. So let's go back over to the Rambam. The Rambam writes the following: Melchemes Mitzvah Ein Tzarch Litol Ba Rishus Bezdin. So again, what's the subject here? Obviously the subject is war, but besides war, when we talk about getting the license to go out to war, what is the subject of this Rambam? And how does he differentiate and contrast Melchemes Mitzvah to Melchemes Rishus?
Who's the authority you have?
No, but I'm asking, again, we have so many different bodies here of authority. Can you pinpoint one specific, read the Rambam again and pinpoint which body is he talking about? And he's going to tell you that this body is necessary in one case, but unnecessary in the other case. Read it again. Yeah. Milchemes Mitzvah Ein Tzarech Litol Ba Rishus. No.
The king doesn't need the Beit Din.
Right. No, I'm saying, again, the Rambam is asking the following question. Again, he doesn't ask the question, he just answers it, but we can, you know, it's Sherlock Holmes, we can figure out what question he's asking. He wants to know, under what circumstances do we have to have the courts, the highest court in the land, to approve of going out to battle? And the Rambam gives a very complicated answer. And he says it depends. There's no clear-cut answer to this question. There's no one single answer to this question. It depends. if we're talking about a Melchemes Mitzvah, says the Rambam, Ein Tzarch Litol Bar Rishus Mimelech. Is that what the Rambam says? No, the Rambam doesn't say that. He doesn't even mention the Melech. He says, Ein Tzarch Litol Rishus Mibezdin. No, it's a halavina here that you would think that in order to go out to a Melchama, you need the Rishus of the Bezdin. But since the Melchemes Mitzvah, we can go out and we don't have to ask the Bezdin. But then he says, Aval Melchemes Rishus, Eino Motzi, etc., etc., LLP, Bezdin Shal Shivim Yechad. Here's where the authority of Bezdin Shal Shivim Yechad comes to the fore, when it comes to the Melchemes Rishus. So it's really interesting, because the Tosfos Yontif claims that the initiative is really the initiative of the Melech, just that he needs the approval of Sanhedrin. The way the Rambam seems to formulate it, it's really the decision of the Bezna Gadol, and the king follows suit, that he takes the people out to war once the Bezna Gadol has made that decision that we should go out to war. Nira Midvarov, the Masnisa Lapamila Sambelech Ayri. The subject of this Mishnah, according to the way the Rambam formulates this Mishnah, is not the Melech and his authority, El Asal Ashminon, but rather on the contrary, the Rambam is sort of demoting the king, and he's telling us that in the case of a Melchemes Rishus, the king does not have authority to go out to battle. He needs, absolutely depends upon the Bezna Gadol. In the case of Melchemes Rishus, we don't need anyone's permission. God commanded us to go out to battle. Inami mishum diyuka de Melchemes Mitzvah Rashoi below Rishus. In other words, the Ram wants to point out that we don't need the Rishus of Bezdin in the case of a Melchemes Mitzvah. Only in the case of Melchemes Rishus. So it comes out the following. So far we have two possibilities. Just think of it in conceptual terms. What is, let me ask it this way. Wherein lies the authority to go out to this war, this discretionary war? Is it fundamentally in the hands of the Melech? That's his authority. He needs the approval of the Bezna Gadol. Well, no, it's really a decision of the Bezna Gadol, just that it's the implementation of that decision that requires the Melech. The Melech is going to sort of like lead the charge. He's going to tell us to go out to battle.
It's Tosfos Yontov versus Rambam.
It seems that the Tosfos Yontov is really putting the emphasis on the Melech, and he has a bunch of Rishonim who say that the Mishnah should have said explicitly, Ein Motzil Melchemes Rishus El Al Pi Melech. The Rambam seems to put the subject and the authority in the hands of the Bezna Gadol. Okay. Hareish and estafik atosis yontif im yesh lemelech koach lo tziyam lemelchemes rishus al pi bezdin o shein lemelech bazeh shum mailo el bezdin levada motziyam. The only suffik in the mind of the Tosfos Yontif, he vacillated. Does the Bezdin HaGadol need the approval of the king, or can they operate and with their authority send the people out to battle in a melchemes rishus even without the melech? If we need the Melech, okay, the Melech is it plays a secondary role, and it's even possible in the mind of the Tosfos Yontif, you don't even need the Melech at all. V'tzarech iyun, now I'm in trouble. D'bishle may name it the Yesh LeMelech Koach Lo Tzim LeMelchemes Rishus. If we accept the position of the Tosfos Yontif, that it's really the king who's in the driver's seat, he's the one who initiates the Melchemes Rishus. Now we understand the pasuk in Shmuel. It says, "Vayishlach David es Yoav." It doesn't say that Yoav, who was the Sar Tzava, was sent to battle by the Sanhedrin. It says he was sent to battle by whom? By David. Vayishlach David es Yoav. The Afal Gav, and if you argue, but Ein Motziim LeMelchemes Rishus Ela Pi Bezdin. Ein Zed the Bezdin Echshavim De Motziim Badi Amelch. It's not that the Sanhedrin is sending them out to battle. Dabi Yushalmi Khan, as we saw before, Sanhedrin Yalfinullah de Melech Motzi Lemelchemes Rishus, Mikra de Alpiv Yetsu Alpiv Yavo. So it's the king who really plays the major role in going out to these battles. Harishatola Hotzol Melchama, going out to battle is Bimelchama Levado. Everything depends on the Melchama. Rak, but then there's a side condition, so to say, a secondary requirement. And Gam the Ika Din, the Einam Elch Motzi Lucham Belirushus, he has to get the approval of the Bezna Gadol. But it's really the Melech who goes out to battle, and that's really fascinating, because that seems to really support the position of the Tosfos Yontif, that that the whole push, the initiative to go out to battle is in the hands of the king.
So I miss something. A king sending somebody out, an individual out into battle.
No, isn't not individuals, the whole of Klal Yisrael.
No, but when he sent out Yoav, he's...
Yoav is in charge of leading the... He's the Sar Tzava, he's the commander-in-chief.
War's already been declared. And he's telling him, I want you to join the battle. It's not the same as declaring.
No, he's saying that Rashi tells us that when David says, Vayishlach David is Yoav, it means that David sent Yoav to battle because he, what's the word I want to use? Yeah. He not approved. Give me a better word. He generated.
Authorized.
He instigated. You know, I'm looking for the right word. Right? He instigated the whole combat, and that fits in very well. According to whom? According to the Tosfos Yontif, right? Because again, according to Tosfos Yontif, Beis HaGadol doesn't have. The real authority is not inherent in the Beis HaGadol. It's inherent in the king. I mean, this really proves how powerful the Jewish king is.
That part with God we put on the side and we don't have an answer, right?
Which one? The question of why the pasuk seems to indicate that Hashem told David to go out to battle. No, that remains an unanswered question. So we only need a rishus and okay from the Beis HaGadol, but the Beis HaGadol is really not playing the role here. For example, if they didn't have the king to initiate this war, there would be no war. It's not in the hands of Beis HaGadol. Now he has another Rambam that says the following. This is in the Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam writes, V'yadua shamulchamos the kibush haartzos lo yei ela b'melech ubatzas sanhedrin agdola. What does that sound like? Read it again. Right, it's three lines up before the end of the page. V'yadua. Right, he's saying that we know this already. Well, maybe we don't know it, but now we know it. Shavol chamos the kibush haartzos lo yei ela b'melech. Where's he putting the emphasis on? Where's the shift of power, so to speak?
No.
In the Melech, correct? Ubatzas Sanhedrin HaGedolah. And he needs the okay and the approval from the Sanhedrin HaGedolah. Here the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot seems to be projecting the view of the Tosfos Yontif. Harei the Kosav to Sanhedrin Rak Lietzah Bilvad. That Sanhedrin is only there to give their approval, you know, their advice. Avalach Reisha Bezdin Nosnin Arashus Lom. I'm sorry. Aval achreisha beis din nosin rishus. Once the okay is there from the part of the beis din, hamelech hushemotziam levado. He himself now takes over, and he sends them out to battle. Believe beis din. He no longer needs the beis din. The authority is now in the hands of the king. He just has to satisfy this one requirement that there shouldn't be an objection, a dissenting view of the beis din HaGadol. And now it makes sense that the pasuk says Vayishlach David es Yoav. David made the decision, and it was his initiative as the melech. Aval inema de Bezdin levadam yichol lahotzi b'li hamelech. If Bezdin themselves has the authority, which we said was one possibility that it's really invested in Bezdin, is ein lamelech v'seshu maila. Why are you mentioning the great powers and authorities of the king that the king sent out Yoav? It's not the Melech, it's not the king who sent out Yoav to Yitzil and will come to go out to battle. It's really in the Bezdin. V'nir al pima shekosav ha-me'iri d'daf tesvav d'may d'snan ein motzin l'mulchemes rishus ratzalom l'shemulchemes mitzvah ein tzarch litol rishus Bezdin. Oh, this is very important. If anybody wants to borrow my pen, you should underline the following words. Lachuf esha'om. Do you see those three words? Mm-hmm. This is going to change the whole understanding of the sugya. The Meiri says the following. What's the difference between a Melchemes Mitzvah and a Melchemes Rishus? The difference is going to be in the authority Lachuf Esa'am. What does Lachuf mean?
To force.
Whenever you use the word force, it means that the person who's being forced, is he agreeable or unagreeable? Obviously he's unagreeable, right? So the Meiri is focused on the following situation, that the people are not interested in going out to battle. Can they be forced to go out to battle? Says the Meiri, it depends. If it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, we don't need any rishus from Beis Din, and we're going to force the people to go out to battle. Again, what that means in actuality, I don't know. I mean, that's already a different question. We're just operating on a conceptual level. Avol, but in contrast, when we get to Melchemes Rishus, Ein Yachol Lachuf Esa'am, the king cannot force the people to go out when they resist. Lotzeis Ba, to go out to Melchemes Rishus, Ela Alpi Bezdin Shal Ayin Aleph. So here's what goes on according to the Miri. The role of the Bezdin is within the following scenario, the following context. The people refuse to go out to battle. They don't want to go. If it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, the Melech will lead the charge, he will force the people, and they have to go out to battle. If it's a Melchemes Rishus, here's where the king cannot, how should I say, independently take the people out to battle against their permission. He needs now the backing of the Beis Din HaGadol. Once he gets the backing of the Beis Din HaGadol, says the Meiri, then he could force the people to go out to battle, even though it's only a discretionary war. The Meiri builds his case on the language motzian. We understood motzian means to lead the charge and make the decision, we got to go out to battle. No, motzian means a lot more than that. What does motzian mean? First, to compel them to go out to battle against their will. Mashma de motzion bal karcham, against their will. Aval ima amarutze, if the people are all in favor, you know, yay, 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 latzeis im ha-melech, yachol lahotziyam, and now we're talking about a melchemes rishus, belirishus Beis Din. Wow. You know, we really went from one extreme to the other over here. First we thought that all the authority really lies in the Beis Din, because that's what it says in our Mishnah, Ein motzi l'melchemes rishus ela pi Beis Din. And now we're going almost to the other extreme, that it's really the Melech who's taking us out to Melchoma, in a Melchemes Rishus. He's the entire initiative is his. He needs the approval of Beis Din only in one case. Which case? When the people resisting, you know, there's a little bit of a rebellion. The people don't want to go out to this Melchemes Rishus. Ulefi zare yosi shafim ma'idchsiv hachav ayishlach David es Yoav. Why does the pasuk indicate that it was David's initiative? Elo tikshi de'i neimah de'bezin levanim yichom lahotzi ha'am bal korcha b'li melech. So now we could have the following question. Well, the possibility that we raised earlier on the previous page was that maybe the authority really inheres in the Beis Din HaGadol, and maybe the Beis Din HaGadol doesn't even need the Melech. Ulam la mavura ha-mishnah ditola ha-yitziyah be-Beis Din ayri hecha di'ena am rotzim latzeh samulchama. Ubeina lakufam, in a case where they refuse, the people refuse to go out to battle, and we need to force them to go out. Now we need Beis Din. We can't move one inch from the spot without Beis Din. Now we're talking about the milchama of David HaMelech when he sent Yoav to Ammon. There, yeshlomer da amo yomarutzim. We could suggest, again, we have no way of knowing this a priori, but perhaps the members of the military, the Israeli military, they were willing, on their own initiative, to agree to go out to battle against Ammon. Ukai Gavna, Sha'am Marutzim Lotzeis, if the people give their okay, and they're not resisting, is Yochal HaMelech Lotziyam B'Atzma B'li Beis Din. We don't even need the Beis Din, V'lachein Tol HaDover B'Melech Levado. So again, it really shifts. If we're talking about a case of Melchemes Rishus where the people are eager to go out to battle, then who has the authority, who has the initiative?
The king.
But if on the other hand we're talking about a case where the people of Israel are resisting a Melchemes Rishus, then who has the final authority?
Sanhedrin.
It's the Beis Din, Sanhedrin. And the king can't do anything without Sanhedrin. He can't budge from the spot.
But the Beis Din can't do anything without the king either.
That I don't know. I'm not sure that that's so, Al. It sounds like, take a look at the language here. He says, Ein lamelech shum mailo lahotzi asa'am. Right? He says, That's even without the king. And when is that? When they resist. The Talinah Yitzia Bebezdin, Iri Hechasha Eina Amarutzim Lotzitz Milchama, Bina Lachufa, Lotzia Balkocha, Toli Legamri Bebezdin. I don't know, I get the impression of the word Legamri that he means that all of a sudden the whole shift of power and authority moves from the Melech to the Bezdin.
So who initiated this? The Bezdin initiated this war?
It depends. The king decided that we want to go to battle, correct? So what happens? The people rally behind him and they say, let's go to battle.
Right.
So then we have the Pasuk, Vayishlach David es Yoav, that's in the Melchemes Ammon.
That's what I don't understand. I'm sorry. That's what's bothering me. The king wants to get rid of Yoav. Before we know, there was already a battle going on. He took the opportunity to send him to the front.
I don't know. I can't answer your question. I wish I could, but
it doesn't say anything about
for this, we'd have to go through the Tanakh. No, I didn't have time to go through the Tanakh.
So from this passage, how do you get anything about the king initiating any battle? It was a battle already initiated.
And that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that he initiated the battle. But again, you know, if you want, we could study that. The only problem is that I'm just trying to work out what he's saying. The bottom line to what he's saying over here is that if you ask the question in the Melchemes Rishus, who has the authority to go to battle, there are two different answers to this question. If it's a situation where the people rally behind the king and they approve, then the king has total control. He doesn't even have to bother with Bez Nagol. He makes the decision, we're going out to battle, and that's the way it's going to be. If on the other hand the people resist, then it's a matter of Bez Nagol. Then the decision in the hands of the Bez Nagol. You see, I suspect that what's going on here is that once there's resistance, then the decision to go out to battle falls back on the people. The only trouble is the people aren't excited going to battle. So we need a representation of the people. Who represents the people? Sanhedrin HaGadol. Now again, you know, if this was a class in Jewish philosophy, you know, I'd have to ask you the question, does the king represent the people? It sounds like it's the Bezdin that represents the people and not the king. You know, in a Western context, that's very odd because, you know, Bezdin and the courts, they don't represent the people so much. They represent, you know, the legal thinking of the judges and their ethical thinking. If you ask me who is really representative of the people, again, I'm not talking about a tyrant. What's it called? Not a tyrant. What's the word?
A dictator.
I'm not talking about a dictator. But if it's a king that was elected by the people, he represents the people. You know, the heart of the nation is in the hands of represented by the king.
Are you giving the impression that it's a bit pell mell? It's a bit of.
I didn't hear you. Sure. Pell mell.
Pell mell.
I'm not sure what that means, but sure there used to be a cigarette called Pall Mall.
Not sure who's got the right what to do. What
who has
do.
The authority, right? Yeah. That's what we're trying to figure out.
It's a sort of thing. It's a war council, so they get together and they discuss what the problems are and who starts
the pros and the cons.
And it's your responsibility. I mean,
and who makes the final decision?
I thought it'd be a set pattern. I mean, everything in the Gemara is orderly and or supposed to be.
Right. So this is the order of the Gemara according to the Meiri.
You'll give the impression that it's just like, oh.
It depends. It depends on whether the people want to go out to battle. That's the sheet of the
Meiri. They have a set formula.
That is the formula. The formula is just that. Are the people in agreement? They're agreeable to go out to battle, or are they resisting? Because keep in mind, they're going to put their lives on the line. This is a dangerous operation. You know, the Ammonites are very powerful.
So the war council should get together and say, discuss what's
right. But in halacha, the war council is called the Bez Nagol, and that's how our Mishnah hit the beginning of Sanhedrin. You can take a look. Ein motzi l'melchemes. They are the war council. Again, if the king can rally people around him, and they're willing and eager to go out to battle,
but he's got to get the blessing of all these other arms that are sort of saying he does that, he should do that, and it's hard.
Well, I don't know about blessing. I would call it the Eitzah, right? We need Achitofel to give us, you know, there are many ways of attacking the enemy. You know, you need a real expert.
The blessing of the, yes, you do the right thing.
So correct. He has the halachic backing or the license to go out to battle together with his people in a Melchemes Rishus. That's the Shita of the Me'iri. Ulefi HaMavur BaMe'iri, we're now on the right bottom paragraph on the second page that I gave you, Reish Lamed Aleph. He says that Din Rishus Bezin Lo Nevek HaKecha, when do we need and require the authority of Bezdin? That's only when the Melech Rotzala Chufam Lotzei Spal Karchom, if they don't want to agree to go out to battle. Aval Hech the Merutzim La Lo Be'inan Rishus Bez Yesh La Ayin Bahad Be'inan Urim V'tumim U'mashuach Melchama L'Melchama. Now, wait a minute. You know, we've dealt here with the issue of who has the authority. Is it the king or is it the Bezdin? That now the life, you know, gets even more complicated because we have another two variables to add to the equation. What about the Urim V'Tumim? What role do they play? And then we have the Mashuach Melchama, and we mentioned before that we needed the Urim V'Tumim and the Mashuach Melchama. What was his name? Yoyada ben Ayo ben Yoyada. He says Yesh La'ayin Bahad be'inan Urim V'Tumim Mashuach Melchama Madin Urim V'Tumim Mashuach Melchama Gam Kein Rak Heicha Da Melech Motziim L'Mchol Bal Karcham. Is it possible now, in the light of this Me'iri, that the only requirement of the approval of A, the Urim V'Tumim, and B, the Mashuach Melchama, that's only because the people refuse to go out to battle? So that now, what we need is, number one, the Bezna Gadol, number two, we need the Mashuach Melchama, number three, we need the Urim V'Tumim. We have to have A plus B plus C. And that's because the people refuse to go out to battle, or at least they're not excited about going out to battle. Kol Shah Merutzim Lotzeis, then perhaps all the authority lies in the hands of one man, who's that? Okay. The Melech. V'lo be'inon, we don't need Bezdin, we don't need the Urim V'Tumim, we don't need the Mashuach Melchama. Now the question is, halo yalfinon l'din Urim V'Tumim Mashuach Melchama Bezdin Michad Kro. Now all these requirements, A, B, and C, which means the Bezna Gadol, was all derived here on the top of our Amud from the same Pasuk. It was one Pasuk. Now what are you going to tell me? He says, Hallo Yalfina, no, Michad Kro, Dilfei Elazar Kohen Yamod Hu, and the word Hu means the Melech, Kol B'nei Yisrael, that means the Melech, that means the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, Kol Ha'eda means Sanhedrin, and then it says, Urim V'Tumim, Ukmosh Adin, Bezdin, the requirement of Bezdin, Gak Nemar Hecha Deha Melech Rotze Lochuf, Lotzei Spal Karcho. Right? So again, in the light of the Me'iri, what is the context, what is the scenario of our Pasuk that requires the Bezna Gadol? This Pasuk, from which we learn the requirement of the Bezna Gadol, in what context was this Pasuk formulated?
Mechemes Rishus, where the people are objected.
Obviously, when the people are objecting. So now, in the same pasuk, we had another two requirements of the Kohen Mashuach Melchama plus the Urim V'Tumim. Maybe those requirements, like the requirement of Bezna Gadol, are conditional on the fact that the people are objecting. Conscientious objectors, we used to call them. You remember that?
Yeah, we had them too.
Yeah, that was the days of the 4D. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Ukmosh Adin Bezdin. Rak Nemar Hechad HaMelech Rotze Lachufo Lotzeis Bal Karcham. The requirement of Bezdin, which is derived from this very pasuk, is only in a situation where they object. Hechad HaMerutzim Lotzeis Lo Beinat Bezdin Kvochein Hadin Biur V'Tum Mishuach Melchama. Rak Nemar, this requirement of V'Tum Mishuach Melchama is only formulated Hechad HaMotzim Bal Karcham. But if on the other hand they rally behind the king, then that's it. We don't need neither Bezna Gadol according to the Miri, and now we don't even need, you can drop the requirement of Urim V'Tumim and Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Oh, Now on the top left, he has another possibility. The chalukim e'adodi. They're two different categories. The requirement to Urim v'tumim mishuf melchama applies even if the people rally behind the king. Again, it's a little difficult because they're all derived from the same pasuk. Now, why are we differentiating between Urim v'tumim mishuf melchama on the one hand and Bez Nagol on the other hand? So he tells you to look in the Ramban. You know, the Ramban wrote a super commentary, a critique of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in the end of his critique, Sof Mitzvahs Lo Saser, he writes that the requirement of Urim v'tumim, Tzorech Af B'Mulchemes Mitzvah. Wow, this is wild. Until now we've been assuming, because we're influenced by the Rambam, that with regard to Mulchemes Mitzvah, we don't need anyone's permission, nobody's approval. The Ramban says, wow. No, we always require the Urim v'tumim. This has to be studied in great depth. The Ramban sheet of Urim v'tumim as an absolute requirement, even in Melchemes Mitzvah. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be only the Ramban. It's also Rashi al Torah Parshas Pinchas. The Afi Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says, you need an Urim v'tumim. Mm-hmm. And Eretz Yisrael is clearly a case of Melchemes Mitzvah. Cool. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Milchus Melachim, the Af Melchemes Mitzvah Ika Din Mashuach Melchama. This was the Rambam's Chiddush. I think we mentioned this in the past, that there's a requirement of Melech Mashuach of Kohen Mashuach Melchama even in the Melchemes Mitzvah, which again we have to figure out exactly what the purpose of a Mashuach Melchama is in a Melchemes Mitzvah, because everyone has to go out to battle in a case of Melchemes Mitzvah. The afal gav de melchemes mitzvah lo tzarech bezdin. Interesting. Are you beginning to see the picture that unfolds in front of our eyes? We thought that since bezdin is lumped together with urim v'tumim and mashuach melchama, it's all one din. It's mikshachas. It's one entity. No, I'll prove to you twice over that this is not so, because number one, the Ramban sheet is that you require Urim v'tumim even in Melchemes Mitzvah, which doesn't depend at all on the agreement of the people. No one has to give their agreement to go out to Melchemes Mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Number two, now we have a Rambam who upgrades the status of Mashuach Melchama. We don't need a Beis Din in the case of Melchemes Mitzvah, we do need a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Ubal Korcha, then mathematically we must conclude the Chalukim Adodi, that there's a fundamental difference between the two. That on the one hand we have Mashuach Melchama and Urim v'tumim, and on the other hand we have a Din of Bezdin. And therefore it's very possible that even in a situation where we don't need the Rishus of Bezdin, for example, if the people rally behind the king, nevertheless we still need a Kohen Mashuach Melchama and the Urim v'tumim v'tzarech in v'tzarech.
What do the Urim v'tumim do? They agree or they disagree? Does that have any halachic status?
I thought the Betin has to interpret the Urim v'tumim.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
The Betin say what they see the Urim v'tumim and say what it means. So,
correct. But when they say what it means, once we get clear what the message is of the Urim v'tumim, then what is the Urim v'tumim telling us? If the Urim v'tumim tells us this is not a good idea, then it would be bloodshed almost to send the troops out to battle. So Enoch Inami, although Urim v'tumim is not, it's not an authority per se, if you follow what I mean, but nevertheless it is an authority. What I mean to say, it is an authority ipso facto, it's an authority. Do you follow me by ipso facto, meaning
Urim v'tumim are akilo, then you might as well say Urim v'tumim are based in one breath.
It's a word of Hashem, isn't it?
There may be a fundamental difference between Beis Din and Urim v'tumim, but nevertheless, if the Urim v'tumim tell us that this is a very dangerous operation, this is not worthwhile, then drop the ball right there. Drop the war right there.
Can you use your Urim v'tumim on any decision?
I don't know. That you're asking Yaakov a very important question.
A skirmish.
Right.
You start to the war.
Right.
You can say, to
what extent?
I forgot to consult the Urim v'tumim. It's like a blanket.
Right. My Rebbe has a lot of Torah on your question. When are we allowed to raise a question to the Mitumim. There are a lot of strict regulations about asking questions to the Mitumim. It's kind of like if you ever learned Tilchus Talmud Torah, there are very strict regulations about when a Talmud is allowed to raise a question in class. No, I'm not joking with you. I mean, the Rambam has very strict regulations. Yeah. Sometimes I get a little upset because I should really teach that. It's a whole chapter in the Rambam that when and how you ask a question. But the same thing applies to the Urim and Tumim. There are a lot of strict regulations. It's not just carte blanche, laissez-faire.
You're fighting holy wars, holy skirmishes, holy whatever. You're not any other king in any other country. You've got responsibility, you've got a shed behind you maybe, you're in God's country, and I would have thought that there's a certain way of acting that you're safe to...
Even without the Urim and Tumim, you mean?
Whatever.
Is that what you're saying?
Or with it or without it. So consult the Urim and Tumim and you're okay.
Yeah. You got to consult the Urim and Tumim when it comes to war. Now, again, if it's Melchemes Rishus, I understand. But now we're going way beyond that. We're saying that even in a Melchemes Mitzvah, we need to consult with the Bez. So let's see, Rabbi Sai, we're running a little bit low on time. I want to get to the end of this page and maybe even to finish the paragraph. On the top of the next page. So let's do this really quickly. There's a Tosas back on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, and we hinted at this Tosas before. Why does the Mishnah say, quote, Ein Motzi Melchemes Rishus El Pi Beis Shalayin Aleph? Why doesn't the Mishnah mention a word about Mashuach Melchama and Urim V'Tumim? Again, Rabosai, with regard to a discretionary war, there is no doubt in anyone's mind we must have not just the Beis HaGadol's approval, we need the approval of the Urim V'Tumim, and we need the Kohen Mashiach Melchama. And why was this omitted from our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seems to give you the impression that to go out to a discretionary war, it's just in the hands of the Beis HaGadol, but not the other requirements. Rabbeinu Yonah asked this question. Okay. Ula. I'm fast forwarding. The first word in the line is ulam. Ulam e neima da din urim v'tumim mishuach melchama bein and af hecha the etzem ha'am merutzim latzeis melchama. The subject of our Mishnah, when the Mishnah according to the Meiri says that we need Beis HaGadol's approval, what is the case, Rabosai? Approval of the people or objection of the people? Again, I asked my question because nobody answered it. Hopefully on the second round you will answer it. Again, according to the Meiri, when the Mishnah says we require the approval of Beis HaGadol, what is the case? They're rallying behind the king. What's the answer? They're objecting, okay. So now that they're objecting, and that's the case that our Mishnah is addressing, we now begin to understand why the Mishnah omits mention of the Urim and Tumim and the Kohen Mashiach Melchama. The Mishnah Ayri Rak B'dinei Kfir. The subject of our Mishnah is how we can accomplish the goal halachically of coercing the people to go out to battle. Kimo Disnan Beresh Masechta, as it says, Ein Motzim Melchemes Horishus, meaning we can't force them to go out without the Beis HaGadol, but Davchav Tananu Motzim Melchemes Horishus. Hadin, I don't know what this word is, Kipirish Lotziyam, Hadin Kfiyah, I'm sorry, Hadin Kfiyah Lotziyam Balkarchu, Hurak Toli Bebezdin. We said that you needed Urim V'Tumim and Mashuach Melchama. Ain Zemidine Kfiyah Ki Im Din HaNemer B'chol Melchamas Rishus, and possibly even in a Melchamas Mitzvah, Afhecha Diyotzim Me'atzmam. In other words, the Mishnah wants to answer the following question. What are the unique requirements to turn the people around and force them to go to the war? And the answer is Beis HaGadol. And we now have an answer to the question of Tosfos and the Ran, Tosfos Rabbeinu Yonah, excuse me, why didn't the Mishnah mention neither Urim and Tumim nor Mashiach Melchama? The answer is because that's not the subject of the Mishnah. You want to know what the requirements of going out to battle are? Okay, that's a different issue. And then for sure we need the Urim and Tumim and we need the Kohen Mashiach Melchama. But we're asking a different question. The Mishnah wants to know how can we overcome neutralize the problem, this very big barrier, namely what? That the people are objecting. And the answer is that's totally in the hands of whom? On the Beis Nagodol. Once Beis Nagodol decide that whether they like it or not, they're going out to battle. Now we go through the regular requirements of whatever it is necessary to go out to battle. Namely, we need the Urim V'Tumim and we need the Mishavach V'Chavah. But the Mishnah didn't have to mention that because that wasn't the question that was being addressed by the Mishnah. And now we'll try to fit in this very last paragraph. The Gemara in Brachas, I told you, really is the source for our whole sugya. Goes through Achitofel and Sanhedrin and the Urim V'Tumim. So Rashi says an unbelievable thing. You know what we need Sanhedrin for? For their brachas, for their tefillos.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
What is going on here in this Rashi? Why does Rashi say tefillah? Forget about tefillah. This is a din in Melchemes Rishos. We need the approval of Beis Din. Forget about tefillahs. Unbelievable.
But didn't we have a page ago, the second opinion of the Rambam, who said you just need them for Eitzah? That's like...
Oh, so maybe Rashi's talking about a case. Again, Eitzah is something else. That's already in all Melchemes. We need to consult with the experts in Vilter to get the right
also, it's only Eitzah. It's not like some kind of...
But now, what we're saying is that we need the Beis Din HaGadol in order to get approval to go out to Melchemes Rishos. Why does Rashi tell me, no, we need the Beis HaGadol to get that tefillah? It's like Hasidus Rebbe here. You know, please, Rebbe, I'm going out to battle. Give me a bracha. What's going on here with this Rashi? It's a Hasidus Rashi. So he wants the answer based on the Meiri. Why? The Meiri says that if the people rally behind the king, then we don't need the Rishus of Beis Din. The king, as a sole effort, you know, independent, we'll go out to battle. Ukshepashtu Yedeim, this is on page Reish Lamed Beis, you have it?
Yeah.
Ukshepashtu Yedeim Begdud, Ha'am Ha'yimarutzim Lotzes.
So we don't need the
Tefillah
of the Sanhedrin if the people are happy?
We need the Tefillah, but we don't need the permission and the approval of Beis Din, because now all the authority is vested in the king, independent of Beis Din HaGadol. And that's what David HaMelech told the Chachamim. Remember, they came to him with daybreak, and then they poured out their hearts as far as the financial situation. David says, "Pshu pishtu yadechem b'gdud, go out and battle."
So in Russian, what? Makes no sense.
Just 1 second. Wait a second. I, maybe you're ahead of me, Alan. I'm a little slower than you. I apologize. I just got to get to mathematics here, right? So what happens? David HaMelech makes the decision that we have to go out to battle. Where are the people? They're behind them. Why are they behind them? Because they're in a desperate situation. If we don't conquer the enemies and confiscate their properties, we're going to starve to death. So Rashi says, in this context, why did they ask the Beis Din? Not for the Beis Din's approval, because now the king can independently make that decision. He's got the people rallying behind him. He doesn't need the Beis Din. So Rashi answers that why did they consult with the Beis Din? It was a way of appeasing the Beis Din, so to speak, and getting them on board so that they would be mispalalim. Mikomakom shalu biurim v'tumim. They still ask the urim v'tumim, because as we said before, it could be even in a melchemes mitzvah, we require an urim v'tumim. Okay, Rabbi, I'll say this is where we'll stop. My wish to you is for, you know, for the rest of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, how many days do we have left? Another week, right? We should take advantage of those opportunities to do tshuva. Dirshu Hashem v'matzoh, God is close. And in Ritz Hashem, we'll get together, I guess, next, I don't know, it's Wednesday in a week is Yom Kippur, the following week is Sukkot, and I think even the following week is, the following week is actually Isru Chag in America, so here it's 2 days after Yontif, so we can get together 2 days after Yontif, B'li Neder Gadol. And I'll see you then. Okay then? So Gmar Chasima Tov to everyone, and a Chag Sameach, and everything should be great, and I'm very proud of you that you came after a fast. I mean, kol hakavod, as we say. Are there any leftover pizza?
No.
No. So who ate the pizza? Because I asked Simcha to make an announcement. The pizza's only for people who are here for the shiur.
The three of us.
So you each got two pieces. I hope you washed and benched on it. Okay, fine. I said to Simcha, if there's a couple extra pieces, let us know. Rabbi, thank you so much.
I told you that Bezat Hashem those two. I told you, I'll send you.
Yeah, you're away now. For
will the shiur be?